We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're going to chase that Super Bowl.
This is the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
8 o'clock hour of the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line at Llewellyn's Soulard. Chris Raby with you. Ryan Schulte to my left. Mike Anderson, my guy, back at the KMOX studios. And J.J. Bailey is here, and he has the HQ trivia fired up.
Oh, Christopher, I'm so happy to be here. But I can't neglect this chance to win $250,000 right now. We'll split it if I win it.
So it's $250K. It's going to one person. How many people are playing? 2.3 million?
Yeah, and I'm guessing it'll probably be up close to 2.5. So we got a lot of competition.
If you just randomly guessed every question, the odds still probably better than winning the Powerball.
Yeah, one time there was the question was the ingredient. Which of these is not an ingredient in Red Bull? So I don't like my chances.
And just a lot of words with consonants in them. And
yeah. A lot of words that end in I-N-E.
Torzine and Bisine and Tyzine.
Those all sound plausible.
Things I put in my body that I shouldn't.
I'm also, this is my love for you.
Shout out to Rebel.
I am also neglecting a fantasy baseball draft right now.
You're making me feel bad.
I've outsourced that to a friend in Phoenix. So, no, I would rather be nowhere else than with you right here on St. Louis's Sports Voice.
You know, if you can outsource to Mountain Time.
Ooh, yeah. Very
can't
helpful.
Can't really pass that up.
It's very helpful. I mean, he's rested still.
Mountain Time is solid. I think that's probably, although things get a little sketchy. Is it Arizona where they observe daylight savings?
Parts do, parts don't.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Here's what I know. He's 2 hours behind. I know that he's grilling right now. Shout out to
2 hours behind, because when I was in Phoenix in February, this would have been pre-DST.
Mm-hmm.
It was 1 hour behind.
Yeah, so it's 2 hours now. So he's fresh, man. He just got off work. He's grilling. He's in a good spot. Shout outs to Mike Atoman, my childhood friend. I'm against some friends of the show, actually. Drew Silva. So if I end up beating Drew Silva this fantasy season, we could rub it in his face because I didn't even draft for the second half.
I will plan on rubbing all of it in Drew Silva's face. The worst time zone is Eastern time. How does anyone in Eastern time stay awake for anything? I was at spring training trying to watch the Blues.
Oh, it's
and
brutal.
Forget the Blues starts in St. Louis. They were on the West Coast, and the games, the puck drop was like at 10:43 p.m.
Well, have you seen the proposal that they have put forth that they're trying to move to Atlantic time, which would actually move them 1 hour further ahead?
Why would you want to do that?
Because they want to opt out of daylight saving time altogether. And they want to be in, so they would be for like half the year, they would be in Atlantic time.
I don't
which
like
means,
this.
Yeah, like primetime games would finish after midnight there.
I don't like that whatsoever.
No. I want to move to Pacific time where I can wake up at 10 a.m. and we got NFL
games
on.
Watch football.
Yeah.
March Madness games started at 9 a.m. in California last week.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
How awesome is that? College football starts at 9 a.m. all fall. How awesome is that?
Yeah.
All right, well, that's enough. That's what we call TST, a little time zone talk with Raby and Bailey. You know JJ from KMOV.com. Follow him on Twitter at the JJ Bailey. And I know we had you in last week, and we thought we kind of had a handle on what was going on, but some stuff has been changing. The Cardinals head to Montreal, play two games that are inconsequential, but I think some things to talk about against the Blue Jays, and now get ready to head to New York. But we get a roster move that will be forthcoming. Derek Gould, I believe, was the one who broke the news yesterday that Jordan Hicks, someone we talked about, JJ, is going to be with the club on their opening day roster. John Brebbie is going to be the man out. And I was fairly stunned. I know that the Cardinals like Hicks a lot and that they have liked him. He was sent out of camp early, went down to minor league camp. I think multiple people have talked about the fact that he had some things to work on, but also there was a perhaps punctuality issue. Mm-hmm. I know Tommy Pham put on social media a picture of the day's schedule one morning, mm-hmm. wallpapering his locker, saying maybe now he'll show up on time.
Mm-hmm.
But he had a good outing on Sunday. His stuff is undeniable. But your take, because, again, I was just really, really surprised that this move is coming. I don't want to make assumptions, but I would like, if it's not something physical with Brebbia, I don't see the reason for the move, especially because of the fact that you got to clear up a spot in the 40 man.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good point. And I think that, you know, before we went on here, we were talking about the fact that velocity was a notable issue for Brebbia, and the fact that he's a guy that sits around 95, 96, and by the end of camp, he was not hitting those numbers. In fact, was several miles an hour lower. And given his reliability and given the fact that the Cardinals leaned on him so much, it seems strange that he wouldn't at least start the season with them. He was probably going to be one of those guys that was part of that carousel, that I-55, the old Memphis shuttle.
Yeah, but he was great for half a season last year.
Exactly. I mean, you knew that it was mainly just options.
He came up and what, made his debut same game as DeJong in Colorado, right? And then stuck and had an ERA under 3 the rest of the way.
Yeah, and so he was going to be a guy that was probably going to be cycled in and out only because he was able to be cycled in and out. He figured to be a pretty relatively regular contributor to this team. And
he was already on the 40-man, obviously. He was on the 25-man. So.
Which made a lot of this easier. And, you know, I know Hicks was talked about at the winter warm-up. I know Mozeliak named him specifically. But what you saw in spring and, you know, what you were able to ascertain from the fact that maybe there were some punctuality issues from social media posts or rumblings you might have heard, I think that I'm having a hard time believing that Jordan Hicks pitched his way onto the opening day roster.
Based on one outing, right?
Yeah. Exactly. And I think I'm much more comfortable asserting that there maybe is a problem, or significant or not, there's certainly something right now where Brebbia is not ready to go opening day. And Hicks has elite stuff, and so he's the best option for the time. But if I'm being honest, I don't see the fact that the Cardinals all of a sudden said, Jordan Hicks, we need him for opening day, to be true. I think this is a symptom of a problem that we haven't fully understood yet.
Especially because Josh Lucas, who is DFA'd today, was someone that was great this spring, was fantastic in every role that he was in Memphis last year, had a ton of saves, a ton of wins, mm-hmm. came up to the big leagues, and was almost as untouchable as, you know, Mike Myers and a couple of other guys that we've talked about this spring. And to clear a spot for Hicks on the 40-man right now, you had to DFA Lucas and risk losing him for nothing. Mm-hmm. It's just a little head-scratching to me, because Lucas was another guy who could have been a free option back and forth between Memphis and St. Louis. And then you could have waited and made that decision and brought Hicks up whenever the time was. I also wonder, you know, putting aside Brebbia, like, I guess the flip side of the argument would be, well, if the club really feels right now like Jordan Hicks is one of the 25 best guys to help us win right now, that's why they're doing this, and that's mm-hmm. why they're manipulating and maneuvering the roster and exposing what appears to be a pretty good player to get him on the club right now.
Yeah, and I mean, it's possible that they do believe that. I mean, clearly his talent had already caught their attention. I mean, we talk about it over winter warm-up, and I know that that's not written in stone or anything, but the fact that Mozeliak named him specifically tells you that he's certainly on the radar. But I'm with you in this, that there's a question here. There's at least reason for the question, right? Is he one of the 25 best players they have to help him win? He might be in raw talent, but did he demonstrate that? Did he essentially prove that this spring? No, I don't think that he did. And I think that punctuality issues, but also performance, tells you that there's probably something larger at work here, a more complicated plan, perhaps. But I'm not it head scratching is the right word. I can't figure out why you wouldn't roll with Lucas over Hicks. Maybe age plays a factor. you know, maybe stuff plays a factor, but results favor Lucas, and results at the big league level favor Lucas. So it'll be interesting to find out what we find out in the coming weeks, because I'm with you. I can't really understand why Lucas isn't on this team and Hicks is.
And to see how Hicks is used. Like, is he going to be thrown right into the fire in high leverage situations? I think we all agree that his stuff could play late in the game and in the ninth inning, but
absolutely.
This guy has a handful of Grapefruit League innings under his belt. So how will they use him? Will he be used in mop-up duty early? Will they throw him into some high-leverage situations in the sixth, seventh, eighth inning to see what he's got? How will that progress? And then is he up here for good because of the, you know, relative to other things, because of the, I guess you can call it an acquisition cost to get him onto the roster.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to watch if he is thrown into meaningful innings early and somewhat regularly, whose place in those innings
sure.
is he taking? Because I think that's going to be a question, too, is if you're going to add him on here and you're going to use him, which if you're going to let Lucas go to do it, then clearly you have plans to at least get your money's worth out of that move.
Yes, maybe it's Brebbius.
maybe it is Brebbius, but I'm with you. Yeah. There's still too many variables that just aren't clear at this point, because even if Brebbius is suffering from health, Lucas gives you an option to replace that. So you've got Hicks. So if Hicks is going to be part of the long-term plan and, you know, pedal to the metal, all right, then whose innings is Jordan Hicks taking?
All right, J.J. Bailey is with us from KMOV. Read him at KMOV.com. Follow him at TheJJBailey on Twitter. We are at Llewellyn's. We came here last Tuesday and had a $7 burger and fries. You can do that every Tuesday. You can also take the trolley to and from Cardinals games. Since J.J. and I talked last week, a couple of other things have happened, including a couple of pitchers going to the DL. We'll talk about that and more. It's a Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line, live at Llewellyn's in Soulard until 9 o'clock in KMOX.
Now, back to the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Sports Open Line from Llewellyn Soulard. Chris Raby with you, Ryan Schulte hanging out. Mike Anderson back at the KMOX studios, and our guest is J.J. Bailey from KMOV. Follow him on Twitter at TheJJBailey.
Yeah.
You were with us last Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Some stuff has happened.
A few things, yeah.
We mentioned Jordan Hicks. Let's talk rotation, as I call it, the rotation. Because Adam Wainwright goes to the disabled list. Ryan Schulte's rolling his eyes. You're going to get to spend so much time with me over the next few weeks, Schulte.
Welcome back to Rotation Talk.
Yeah, this is Rotation Talk. Hot off time zone talk on KMOX. Wainwright, hamstring issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we'll get to Jack Flaherty in a moment, because it'll be nice to see what you've got in Jack Flaherty after his great spring. But I'm just a little bummed, because just as like a baseball fan, I wanted to see how Adam Wainwright's encouraging spring
translated
to the regular season. Well, and now we're going to have to wait a couple of weeks.
Yeah, we talked about that when last we were together, that you know, he had answered a lot of the questions. He had consistently come out, consistently looked sharp, consistently looked controlled. All of his pitches played. He was having the spring that, you know, he anticipates a good spring every year. He anticipates a great year every year. But he was showing kind of proof of concept there that, you know, lost some weight.
It's a good way to put it.
And, you know, my pitches are better. I feel stronger. I feel more agile. And, you know, these types of injuries, they kind of come for you. And there's, you know, at the level that these guys perform athletically, sometimes these are just things that happen. They are acute injuries.
Yeah.
You know, they tend to find you. I agree with you that he really looked like a sincerely valuable piece of this rotation. And he looked to be kind of proving doubters, probably myself among them, incorrect, because he looked every bit the pitcher that he presents himself to be every season. So, you know, the flip side of that coin is Jack Flaherty really popped some eyes this spring, and a lot of people had a hard time seeing Jack Flaherty get sent back to Memphis. They thought that was, you know, that was, I don't want to say unfair, but they were kind of shocked to see it, because They felt that he had done enough to make this opening day roster.
But, like, where would he have made it? In the bullpen?
And that was my argument is...
Because he's got to bank innings.
You want this guy to be a starter, so he has to start every day. And which of these five do you want to knock out for Jack Flaherty? Well, you know, fate kind of gave them the answer. Adam Wainwright's going to be down for a while, and Jack Flaherty's going to get his shot. And I think a lot of fans are excited for that. I think it's good for the Cardinals because Flaherty certainly looks like a guy who's going to be a rotation member in the future for the next several years and perhaps longer term than that. So you get a little early test of Jack Flaherty's kind of more refined pitch arsenal, more disciplined delivery. You know, he came up and got knocked around a little bit at the majors, but he had risen so quickly through the minor league systems that, yeah, you can imagine that at a certain point you rise that fast, you're going to hit a ceiling. And so for him to come out in the spring and to look like he can play with major league hitters, you get a nice little test of him early because it's not like he's been down there. It's not like his role has changed. He kind of gets to step back in stride. And as far as Cardinal rotation goes, this is a pretty good scenario, if not best case scenario, that if you lose Adam Wainwright, who was pitching the way he was, you get to plug in Jack Flaherty, who looked like he could step in as a fourth, fifth starter.
I would love over the course of this season, and I don't know how many opportunities he'll get to start games at the big league level, but I would love to see if Flaherty, whether it's this trip up or maybe more realistically later on in the season, make some of the similar strides that Luke Weaver made last year.
Yeah.
Because Flaherty made his debut, obviously, last year. Some flashes of brilliance, knocked around a little bit. Weaver made his debut 2 years ago. Last year came up, had a rough outing against the Diamondbacks at Busch Stadium, but then went back to continue to work on stuff, came up and was, at times, dominant the second half of the season. And he credits that to the second, third, fourth go-around in the big leagues, the development of his entire arsenal, which I think is what we saw benefit Flaherty last year in AA and AAA going later into games. And, again, apples and oranges because they're not the same pitcher.
And in some ways,
the way they were drafted, Jack out of high school, Weaver out of college, albeit out of the same draft in 2014, would love to see Jack make some similar strides and hit some similar checkpoints that Luke did last year.
Yeah, and in some ways, Flaherty's almost better positioned because he's got, in my opinion, probably a more polished arsenal at this point in his big league exposure. He's got more pitches that can play at the big league level with consistency than Weaver had when he first showed up. And Flaherty had some trouble last year, certainly, but, I mean, how many different tiers of hitters do you have to adjust to?
He should have been a junior in college.
Yeah, I mean, he really rocketed up and had to face a lot of escalating challenges. At a certain point, you're going to run out of gas, which is kind of what happened. But what you saw from him this year is what the Cardinals expect him to be. I think he's a lot closer, I don't want to say to a finished product, but to a major league product than Luke Weaver was at the same time in their career, if that makes sense. So I think this is a really great early season test. I think that the Cardinals did not want him in a major league bullpen. They wanted him banking starters innings because he should be competing for the rotation in 2019. He should be fighting for the third, fourth starter spot. And he's going to get a little early test. I can't imagine they want him up at the major league level all year long unless there's a circumstance in which he is going to be part of the rotation. So this is kind of a, I don't want to say fun because it means Adam Wainwright's not healthy, but I think it's an intriguing test drive of a guy that maybe arrived a little bit ahead of schedule and to see if those, what your eyes were telling you, were right.
And also a guy whose name I'm sure has been brought up every time the Cardinals have dialogue with another club.
I'm sure that he's part of a lot of those discussions.
Yeah, and the Cardinals farm system has, excuse me, over the last year, I think, what's the right word? Not like transformed because it's the same guys in the system, but I think that the perceptions of the system and the evaluation of the system and the players in it have risen significantly. And I think a perfect example is what a scout told me at the winter meetings. He said that when you look at the Cardinals system, kind of a perfect example is Jack Flaherty.
Mm-hmm.
He may be among the players in all of baseball who was drafted as a nice player out of high school and was obviously, you know, first-round slot money, and they convinced him not to go to North Carolina. So you expect big things. But with his rise in velocity, the rise in the movement, the arsenal. His ceiling for what the industry thinks he can be, not the Cardinals, but outsiders, has risen as much as anyone over the past 12 months. And I think that there are a bunch of guys like that within the system. And that's why the Cardinals system now is, you know, as deep as it is. And not to say that the organization ever viewed it any differently, but I think industry-wide it's being viewed that way now also.
I think the term I would use is matured, and I don't mean that in an emotional sense. I mean, let's take for a moment that these are players and people, and I don't want to view them as numbers on a spreadsheet, but for the sake of argument, let's look at it as like investments, right? A lot of these investments that were made, you were told about the ceiling, you were told about the profit potential, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of these investments have matured now, and you can actually see the value that everyone promised kind of being actualized.
Yeah.
And I think this spring really went a long way toward that, because it was, you know, Luke Weaver can be a major league starter, and you saw flashes of it and you wanted to believe it as a fan, but it wasn't until this spring that you really saw Luke Weaver show you exactly why the franchise had committed to him that way. Jack Flaherty, same way. You know, Jordan Hicks, when you saw the velocity, you know, a Sunday was the last appearance was a good indicator. But you saw a lot of pieces who had only existed as names on paper and MLB pipeline prospect lists and things like that. A lot of people, industry-wide, fan-base-wide, media-wide, saw these guys actually finish out the progression into, oh, these guys are legitimate MLB prospects. And I think that's the difference in this system going into 2018, is we've seen proof of concept on a lot of these guys that previously had just been kind of promises in the wind.
Luke Weaver is another guy whom I am excited to see how his eye-popping spring numbers, doing everything right, how that translates to the big leagues. Because again, last year, we saw a stretch in the middle of the summer, July, August, whenever it was, about a one-month period where, you know, he was as good as basically anyone in baseball.
Oh, yeah. And we've seen that this spring, too. I mean, you know, there's a couple guys this spring that maybe a few people had, if not soured on,
and he got
certainly
to just
begun
eat
to doubt
all the time.
Yeah. I'm sure he would treat that as a reward. But I would say, like, yeah, Luke Weaver's one of them. You know, Mike Myers is another one that...
Yeah.
The only exposure a lot of people got to Mike Myers was his frankly brutal debut and his return, and that kind of soured on him the second time he was up. And a lot of people just kind of viewed Mike Myers as this guy that, you know, it was a good story for a while, but he's not going to make it. And the Cardinals remained committed to him, and the guys at the minor league level said, no, this guy can play. And I think he's a perfect example of proof of concept. This spring, yeah. Mike Myers is...
He's throwing 100 now.
Mike Myers, if you told me... You know,
I asked you, in Toronto, 2 nights ago.
And I'll ask you this. If I said Mike Myers is the Cardinals closer today...
I'd buy it.
Does anyone look at his stat line and look at his game film and say, oh boy, I don't like that? I mean, he's looked incredible. This, you know, sometimes this takes a little bit of time. And sometimes front offices have a little bit of we're smarter than you don't know kind of thing. But this is something where their faith in Mike Myers is being rewarded and also being clearly demonstrated as correct.
Well, in the larger sample size, like, again, you got thrown to the wolves a little bit against the Dodgers on Sunday Night Baseball.
It was an unbelievable ask.
That was brutal.
National game.
Coming up like that day. But his larger body of work in the minor leagues is extremely consistent and displays the type of player who is on the brink of your term maturity. And now you're seeing 99 on the gun. You're seeing multiple pitches. You're seeing a devastating breaking ball. And
you're seeing a guy who does not look at all out of his depth.
No, he's, you know, I think that he's not at all overwhelmed by the moment. Like, again, this is just me speculating. But if you come up to the big leagues and, you know, have a debut or anything you're doing in your job, and you have a moment like you had against the Dodgers, and you get absolutely, you know, knocked around on national television.
Yeah, you get knocked in the dirt.
Can't get worse, right? You're still on the team. And, again, easy for me to say as someone who's not a big league ball player, it's not my livelihood. but they obviously still want you around. And regardless of Luke Gregerson's injury and how the rest of the roster would have shaken out, I don't know if Brebbia, like we talked about, if he would have been on the way out anyway, if Gregerson was going to make the team because he wasn't on the DL. They obviously still like him. So that's a vote of confidence, and I really want to see how his stuff plays in the bullpen. They've got, what, like four guys down there can touch like 98, 99 in the bullpen now?
Yeah. And
100?
Like, and that's the fun thing is, you know, Mike Matheny always says the same thing. He says, you know, in spring, for a lot of these guys that are right on the edge, right on the cusp, his whole thing is make us watch you, right?
Yeah.
Make us watch you, prove that we can't ignore
you. Watch Mike Myers, man.
Yeah. You know, guys on offense have done that. You know, Jose did it last year. You know, Munoz did it this year. Mike Myers has done that, and a few of these guys have done that. Flaherty did it, but Mike Myers has really done it. And there's a handful of names. That's why this bullpen's so interesting, is there's a handful of names that you can't help but watch. And this cycle that we're going to have, at least in the early part of the year, in that bullpen is going to be really intriguing to watch for Cardinal fans, I think, because it's going to be a bullpen like you've never seen. I don't think there's going to be a hard and fast closer, and I don't think the Cardinals are going to need it.
That's J.J. Bailey. Quick break, and we'll be back with more. We are hanging out until the top of the hour at Llewellyn's in Soulard. Get to the lineup, talk division. I want to get your thoughts on the over-under wins number that has been posted in Vegas. Again, Llewellyn's in Soulard. The trolley running to every Cardinals and Blues home game. You can also check out the opening day party, pre-party with Bud Light specials, free trolley to and from the game, a raffle for tickets, and a DJ and after party with no cover. We're back in a moment from Llewellyn's in Soulard. Chris Raby, J.J. Bailey with you on KMOX.
Tomorrow, it's the 2018 season opener for your St. Louis Cardinals as they face the Mets in New York. Pre-game coverage 11:15. John Rooney and Ricky Horton have the first pitch at 12:10. And you can hear it here on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
We are back with J.J. Bailey at Llewellyn's in Soulard. One of our favorite spots. We were here last week enjoying $7 burgers. That's every Tuesday. Great specials every night, including happy hour, an opening day party with a free trolley, raffle for tickets, a DJ afterwards with no cover. Come on out to Llewellyn's, any of the St. Louis area locations, but the Soulard location, the trolley that'll run you to and from the Cardinals and Blues games, as well as concerts at Scottrade Center.
I got to say, if I may, I got a plug for
you
that
may.
Trolley. That trolley is... it is the best
Trolley's
option.
Clutch.
I lived down here for 4 years. I know that you still live here. Too many of these rides to and from the games are passenger vans where you're touching knees with strangers. It's very sweaty in there. Llewellyn's trolley, spacious.
It's
bench
clutch.
Seating.
Lets you off.
Love
right
it.
Next to the ballpark, right there
it.
On, I guess, like center field. Picks you up and brings you back right after, and you can enjoy, you know, Llewellyn's before and after the game. And it's free.
And I do.
It's the best deal.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's the best deal.
It's a fantastic trolley.
All right, I've seen the Cardinals' total win number at various places around 85.5, 86, 86.5. Your take on that number?
I like the over. I know that it's tempting to throw a hot take out there, but I look at
by
this
all
team,
means.
I look no. I but that's the thing is I don't have one. I look at this team. I look at this offense. I think the offense is better.
But they win last year 83.
They
and 79.
Won 83 games. Pythagorean was 87.
Right.
So they
a little bad luck.
I would say, I look at this team. Offensively, it's a better team. In the rotation, TBD, but still an enticing rotation. I think Alex Reyes returning in whatever role he returns adds value, and I like very much this the bullpen strategy that's been proposed. I think they've got more intriguing arms in the bullpen than before.
You're fired up about this bullpen.
I really like the bullpen, but I also think the return of Okendo helps stabilize the defense a little bit. I like the addition of Mike Maddux. I think the outfield as a whole is better defensively. And Willie McGee certainly helps that, as well as the addition of Marcell Ozuna. I have a hard time seeing this team be essentially last year's team. You know, last year's team, 83 wins. This year, 85, 86. This team's better than last year's team.
I feel like even with technically only one player coming externally and being inserted into the lineup in Marcell Ozuna, the sum of what that does for you, where everyone else fits in, and, you know, especially hopefully a full year of a healthy and productive Tommy Pham and Paul DeJong and a healthy Dexter
Paul
Fowler
DeJong,
and a healthy
what,
Matt Carpenter.
Second in Rookie of the Year voting.
I feel like the lineup is astronomically better. You know, we talk about looking at different projections and different unbiased opinions and people that have no connection to the Cardinals, and I've seen a lot of places this lineup is a top five or six lineup in baseball right now.
I can see that.
And the outfield is one of the top couple of outfields in baseball.
What I like about this lineup is they're just, right now, they're happy being the sum of their parts. And it's not a lineup that is trying to construct specific roles and find someone to fill that role. It is a lineup of talented hitters at different things, and we're just going to construct the most efficient lineup based on that. You know, when Dexter Fowler came in, it was the Cardinals finally have their leadoff hitter. If Dexter Fowler goes, the Cardinals go. And that's a lot to throw on a guy changing teams, coming off a World Series.
And being, you know, that guy on the best team in baseball.
Exactly. And Matt Carpenter he led the team in home runs 1 year at 28. Is he a leadoff hitter? Is he not a leadoff hitter? Where's Yadier Molina fit? And I think this year going into the season, you get less of here's the cast, and we have to find someone to play all these roles. And it's more, hey, here's our ensemble. Let's see what kind of show we can make. And it just feels like there's less pressure on this lineup, and there's going to be more. The chips will fall where they may, and you're getting a full season of Paul DeJong in the major leagues, who right now looks every bit the hitter that he was a year ago. And Dexter Fowler has a little bit of less pressure. Matt Carpenter has said, I'm not going to try and be a power hitter. I'm just going to be a good hitter. And however that manifests itself, that's what happens. You add Marcelo Ozuna, who has 35-plus home run power. And I think you got Colton Wong, who's a guy who's like, look, I'm gonna steal some bases. I'm tired of being fast and not stealing bases. So I'm gonna show that I'm gonna do that. So I think there's less pressure on being a particular type of lineup, and they just want to be a good lineup. And I think they have the tools to be a good lineup.
I wonder what, and to think about the way one player can change the lineup. It's not just Marcelo Ozuna.
And
but
if
it's,
I apologize.
No,
for
please.
It, but I would be remiss if I left out Jed Jerko.
Who
was a runner for this team.
Like seventh.
You know, eight or nine games in a row where a guy like Jed Jerko can carry an offense. And that's not to say, you know, that's not even talking about the fact that he's lost some weight and is going to be playing every day and looks to be perfectly capable of being the same hitter that he was when he was on fire. So I think there's just too many names. I didn't want to leave somebody out, but there's just too many names here and too much talent to be pessimistic about this lineup.
I was looking at some of the odds for MVP, and Marcelo Ozuna checks into the tasty 33-1. And then I read this little nugget from our buddy Joe Sheehan of the Joe Sheehan newsletter as he looks at some different Vegas odds and some different random things for entertainment purposes only and a lot of different prop bets. And one of the props that he looked at was Marcell Ozuna, total RBIs, having the most RBIs in the National League. And he said, it's at plus 2,500. He said, this is mostly about guessing at who will have the most RBI opportunities. And Ozuna is batting behind players who get on base, hit doubles, and don't hit so many homers that they would take away from his chances. I very much like Marcell Ozuna having the most RBI in baseball, plus 2,500. You just start to think in those terms, like, about how the lineup will stack up in front of him.
Yep.
And then the kind of numbers that guy could put up. And then, not only that, Matt Carpenter has never had anyone like that hitting behind him. Like,
yep.
Last year, Tommy Pham a little bit, but Carpenter was kind of yo-yoed back and forth. Like, maybe the issue with Carpenter and where he hits in the lineup and when he hits third is not that he can't hit third. It's just that, no offense, Marcelo Ozuna's never been behind him.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think that's an interesting point to make, that the Cardinals have a top four in the lineup that can do a lot of damage. But the nice thing is, if Ozuna is set up to be your home run guy or your RBI guy, the
double
top guy guys,
when
they don't get
guy
in the way.
When someone can score from first on an extra base hit, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like if Tommy Pham hits 30 home runs, you know, that's a bad thing. But it's just you got a lot of guys who excel at getting on base. And Matt Carpenter isn't the most fleet of foot. But you, if you have Pham and you have Fowler and you have Carpenter, and Carpenter's got a, you know, an OBP approaching 400, are you really going to complain? I mean, if all of those guys hit home runs in the teens, is that a bad thing if you've got Marcelo Ozuna behind them? I don't think so. And not to mention Yadier Molina behind him and Jed Jerko behind him and even Colton Wong in the eight hole, a guy who can hit doubles and hit home runs. That's why I'm bullish on the over, is that this is an offense that on paper and in practice, as we've seen, they can score runs. And they can really bother even the best opposing pitchers because they've got guys who have good on-base percentages. They've got guys who can draw walks. They've got guys who can fight for at least decent contact. They're not an all-or-nothing team, and they've got a lot of different ways to beat you. I think I would confidently take the over even at 86.5.
What do you expect from Paul DeJong?
It's a good question. I had a couple debates down in Jupiter about this. I expect the league figures out Paul DeJong a little bit. I think that certainly he's not going to put up the same kind of numbers that he did last year.
Yeah,
I think he had 440-plus at-bats.
Yeah, but if you do the math, I don't think you can extrapolate out that he hit 23 home runs last year.
Yeah, I think he hit 25.
In what, like 100 games or whatever? Like,
yeah,
I don't think he's going to hit 40 bombs.
At-bats, yeah. He's not a 40 home run guy, but I would say I would put the over-under on Paul DeJong's home run at, like, 19.5. I think that he's probably between
probably a pretty good number.
I think
everyone would instantly just, like, take the over, but you think about playing shortstop defensively every day in Major League Baseball, too, right?
And they've got a year's worth of film on you, and, you know, the lineup changes and how they approach you versus how they might approach somebody near you. I'd say that a really good year for Paul DeJong is probably 270, 275, maybe 19, 20 home runs, 80 RBIs. I mean, I think that's a great sophomore year for a guy that came up and kind of shocked the league. And the league's not going to let Paul DeJong beat them, or like they're going to endeavor to make sure that he doesn't. And I think expecting him to transcend kind of the sophomore learning curve is unfair, especially given the rest of the lineup.
How important, too, though, and we can rattle off all those numbers, and every time, and this isn't an indictment of you because I didn't ask this yet, and this is our final moment on Sports Open Line with J.J. Bailey, but if his glove plays slightly above league average at that position, then that's a huge win, too.
Then you're super happy.
Yeah,
you're super happy. I think any more average defense for above average offense is a trade that every single franchise will make at every single position. Yeah. And I think he's going to give you above-average offense, certainly. Even for, if you want to talk about sophomore years, he's still going to have a better sophomore year than the average sophomore year.
I think he's going to get better.
And all he needs to do is be able to, like, I mean, Johnny Peralta, right? I mean, Johnny Peralta did not have a ton of range, but he made the routine plays. He made the plays he should make. That's
kind of like Jed Jerko at third base.
Exactly. That's what you need Paul DeJong to do, is make the plays he needs to make.
J.J. Bailey. This was great, man. Thanks for coming out to Llewellyn's.
Hey, I love being here. I love being with you, Christopher.
Looking forward to the season. We're going to do a ton of stuff together. Follow JJ on Twitter at TheJJBailey. Read him at KMOV.com. Thank you to Llewellyn's for having us out. Don't forget about their trolley that runs to every Cardinals and Blues game, the opening day party, the Soulard specials. Follow them on social media at Llewellyn's Pub, LLYWELYNS Pub.
He's reading that off a piece of paper. He does not have it memorized.
I had that in my brain. Thank you to Ryan Schulte, our producer-engineer on site. Mike Anderson's my guy back at Camo X Studios. I'll be with you tomorrow for Cardinals pregame. God, is that fun to say. 11:15,
yes,
our Ameren pregame coverage. 12:10, the first pitch from New York, and then we'll be at Rally House in Brentwood tomorrow night from 6 until 8. This has been the Dave Sinclair Lincoln & Ford Sports Open Line from Llewellyn Soulard. For JJ, for Ryan, for Mike, I'm Chris. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Be nice to each other, and as always, peace!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.